Service this morning. It's been a real blessing to me, and I trust that the Lord will continue that blessing and give us a little bit of His Word and open our hearts. As we heard in Sunday school this morning, that the Lord would open our hearts that we can follow after Him and grow in the things of God and make heaven our home. I don't feel like the Lord's quite done with the thought that we had last Sunday about marking the perfect man. And so I want to go on with that this morning and share a few more thoughts. I want to start back in the same Psalm 37 and verse 37. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." You know, when Sister Connie was testifying a little bit ago, I just felt like I could kind of get a little vision of heaven myself, or going there. I think about the joy that awaits us. You know, I'm convinced of it. I believe it's out there. I believe the Lord has it for us, and I believe He has a piece of it here for us too. But I thank the Lord that He has given us that. And it says here that the end of the perfect man... This isn't talking about a man that doesn't have any human faults, but it's speaking of a man that his heart is perfect toward God. And with all of his heart, he wants to do the will of God. And the Lord works in his life, and he's obedient to God in all things. And here it says here, mark that man, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Now we know that's not, and I'm repeating a little bit here, but we know that's not just heaven. We know that the Lord, the end of the life of godliness is peace. It yields in this life many blessings. The life of the Lord does within the heart. And I want us to continue the thought that we're not really marking a man. We're marking the road this man is following. And so when we look at this where it says mark the perfect man, we're looking at one that is following God with all of his heart and marking out the route that he's taking and following something that leads somewhere. We're following something, not just a whim or just an idea or a thought, but we're following a path that we know leads somewhere. It leads to peace. It leads to heaven. And so I believe the Lord wants us to study that route. He wants us to understand a little bit about where we're going. He wants us to understand some of the road signs, if you will, on the side of the road, so that we can look up as we're going along this way and look up, is that I-35? Is that where we're headed? You know, we're headed north, and I know we mentioned about going up to Wisconsin, and the route up there goes through, you know, up I-35 all the way past Minnesota, past Minneapolis, and then you turn up there on State Highway 70 and go right over to Spooner. You know, there's signs all along the way that tell you this is Interstate 35. And if you get off of that road, there's signs on those roads too that tell you this isn't I-35. This is Highway 51 or whatever that we get off on. And so I want us to look a little bit about some things that the Lord would like for us to incorporate in our lives so that we can, they're way marks by the way, that we can see I believe I'm on the way. I'm on the way that God has laid out in the Scripture. I'm marking that path out that I've seen others be successful in reaching home. I've seen them reach the end of their way. Their faith is still intact. Their life is still there for God. Their faith has not given out in the midst of whatever they have to go through before they get there. And I'm going to follow that path. I'm not going to get off on a road that the signs are foreign to me. I start seeing things that it doesn't seem like I'm on the right road. So I want to look at a few little things here this morning in Matthew 6 and verse 22. like for the Lord to help us. This may sound a little basic here, what I'm fixing to read, but it's not basic when it comes to implementing it in our life. Matthew 6 and 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now there's different thoughts you can have about this, but I think when you boil it down, if our eye is clearly seeing and beholding what we're seeing, I believe we can say that our eye is working properly. I believe we can see, we can say that. If our eyes aren't working properly, maybe one's not seeing what the other one's seeing. Maybe it's blinded. I believe we could say that that our heart could be full of darkness, not able to really discern or see the way that we should go. And I'm thinking this morning about focusing and letting our focus be single. Letting our heart, and I know I'm mixing the idea of seeing literally with seeing spiritually, but I'm thinking this morning about focusing on what God wants us to do in our life and staying with that. I know we kind of mentioned that before, but if we are going to make it in, our focus is going to have to be single. There's a lot of things in life that we can get our focus off onto. And if we do that, we'll find ourselves with a double focus. We'll pretty soon find out, I'm really wanting this. I want to go to heaven, but I want this too. Well, you know, I want to propose to us this morning, the Scripture tells us our eye has to be single. Those that I have witnessed that has made it in has had a single eye. Their focus in life was to do the will of God. Their everything that their life was about was, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to do all of Your will, and I want to live my life just like You want me to. And their life was about doing the will of God. Now, does that mean that they don't become involved in their work and all those kind of things? All of that is part of the will of God, if it's in the will of God. So I want us to think about this morning, about making sure that all of our life is within that focus, that I want to do the will of God. I'm not looking to see if I can get by with, if I can do this, if I can take that road, I think I might still be able to get there. But I'm thinking about focusing, a single eye, a single focus. My focus is, I want to get there. What Sister Connie talked about this morning, about heaven. Saints, I want to make it to heaven. I want to get there. I want to get there bad enough that everything else is going to have to be second to that. It's going to have to come in under that. And so if I see it encroaching on my focus there, it's going to have to be severed, because I'm not going to allow that in my life. And I want to encourage us this morning to put our focus on the things of God. That's what's going to last eternally. There's not going to be but a few more years for us here. And then we're going to have eternity to deal with. And it's going to have a lot to do with where, when we reach that place where we've passed over that river of death. Where our focus has been to please God. Just to please Him. Just to make Him, Lord, I want to go Your way. I want to see the way marks on the side of the road. I want to see the signs that says, I know my life is focused. I know it's there. I know that all I'm wanting is to do the will of God. And you know, that's a sign by the side of the road. When our life is out of focus, and we've got a double focus, and really we want to do this, but this is so much, so important to us that our Christian life and our walk with God, our carefulness in our life with Him, our devotions to the Lord, when that begins to be secondary, then we know that's a sign that says this is not the way that leads to life everlasting. In Colossians 1, verse 7, Colossians 1 and 7, we might run over a little bit this morning because we got a late start. It says here, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, I believe that God reveals His mind to His people that seek after Him with all the heart. What we heard in Sunday school about the Lord opening our hearts, you know, as we worship the Lord, that was in Acts the 16th chapter where it spoke of a woman there. I believe her name was Lydia. And it says she worshiped God. And when Paul came along preaching the gospel, it says the Lord opened her heart. And she accepted that, and the Lord blessed her and her house. And you know, the Lord wants to do that for us today. It says here that ye might be filled, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, if we have a double heart or a double mind, or our focus really isn't just to do God's will, then what we'll find out is we miss these things of understanding the knowledge of all His will in our life. And lots of times I think we don't even know we missed it, because we still have knowledge. We still understand a lot of things. But do we really understand the knowledge of His will in our life and in our heart? I just want to encourage us this morning that we follow the Lord in such a way that that we'll be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's a work of God. We can't do that on our own. But you know, as our focus is on the things of God and our focus is there, then the Lord does His part. He opens our heart to understand things that we couldn't understand on our own, because the natural man, it's foreign. The things of God are foreign to the natural man. But as our spiritual man begins to seek out with a single eye the things of God, we find that the Lord begins to reveal things to us. He reveals His mind to those that obey Him. I believe we've seen those that have been successful to the end. We've seen the Lord bless their lives. They had a single eye and a focus on doing the things of God. And the Lord revealed His mind to them. They understood spiritual things. They understood those things that were good for us in our lives. They taught us things that will make you grow spiritually. But as we use just our own ideas, our own mind, our own thoughts about things, it's foolishness. The things of God is foolishness to our mind, if that's all we have. I want to look in 1 Kings 13. And I know I've read this to us before, so bear with me. But I want to read it again. In 1 Kings 13 and 1, this is a story of a man that knew God. And it says here, 1 Kings 13 and 1, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Here was a wicked king. And here he was. He was worshiping, I guess it was Baal, I believe. One of the gods that he was worshiping here. And dropping on down in the 7th verse. And the king, this man of God, in verse 2, he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. And he went on, and it says in verse 3, he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. You know, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. You know, this would have been something. The Lord said, "I want you to go down there. I want you to cry out against that altar." And he goes down there, and there's the king standing there. And he cries out against that altar and says, "Oh, altar." And he said that ashes would be poured out, that it would be rent. And he spoke against it. And then the king puts his hand out, "Get that man." Well, you know, his hand stuck. This man saw all of this. He knew God. He was working here with the Lord, and the Lord was working. And so then the king asked him, "Pray for me. Pray that my hand will, you know, will be all right again." So he prayed for him, and it was all right again. And in verse 7 it says, and the king was real happy about that then. And the king said unto the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." And the man of God said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." This man understood what the Lord had spoken to him. He knew what God had said to him. And so he told the king, he said, "King, if you would give me half of your house, I won't come in and eat bread, and I won't come in and drink water, because the Lord told me not to." And so, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came unto Bethel. Now, this prophet went and he did exactly what the Lord told him to. And the Lord blessed him. And he experienced that. And he saw. But I want to warn us today that the road is all the way to heaven. It doesn't stop part way. And this man, somewhere along the way, he stopped his journey toward heaven. And he took another route. And I want to read what he did. Okay, he knew clearly what God had told him to do. He knew what God wanted him to do. But it says in verse 16, well, I'll start at verse, it's hard to know where to stop and start on something like this. But in verse 11, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they also told their father. And their father said unto them, Which way went he?" And so he got on his donkey, and he went after this man of God. And in verse 15, this old prophet said, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." He said unto him, so up to this time, this prophet, he was doing exactly what God told him to do. He knew what God had told him to do. He knew that. And he obeyed very well here. And so when this old prophet came to him, he said, "I won't be eating bread with you. I won't drink any water. The Lord told me not to do that." But that wasn't the end of the story. He said unto him, verse 18, "I am a prophet also, as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water." In verse 26, And when the prophet that brought him back from the way... Well, we know the rest of this story. It says then... And when he was gone, verse 24, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. I'm sharing this with you because I feel like the Lord gave it to me. You know, the Lord told this fellow and gave him directions and instructions. And he knew it. But another prophet came to him and said, hey, I'm also a prophet. And an angel spoke to me and said for you to come and do exactly what God had told him not to do. You know, saints, I want to encourage us today. Hear the voice of the Lord. There are many voices today. There are many voices today. They're everywhere, and they have every appearance of righteousness and many good things in those voices. This man said, I'm a prophet also. Doesn't say every word he said. He may have started enumerating things that God had done for him and through him and all those things. But in the end, he convinced this man, you come back with me and eat and drink. And he did. But the end of the story is that a lion caught him. And in verse 26, when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. Now this man well knew that, didn't he? You know, I want to encourage us this morning to have a single focus. Get to know the Lord. Get to know His voice. Without all the voices of the world and all the things, have a single eye. There is a road that leads to heaven. There is a way that's clear. There is a way that has way marks along the way. And this road is a way where our focus is to do God's will. That's what it is. And it has many crucifixions to the flesh on this road. We'll find many places on this road where we have to lay down things that we would do, things that we would in the flesh like to do, things that we would be tempted with. We have to lay those things down and crucify the flesh along the way. I want to encourage us today to stay with the things that God teaches us in our life. Stay with the things that we have marked in those that we saw make heaven. When they got to the door and we knew they were close, their faith was intact. Their life was alive with God. In spite of the fact that their body was dying, their faith was there. Their experience with the Lord was there. Stay with those things that God teaches us. This man let a prophet talk him out of the things that he knew God had given him. So I just want to encourage us this morning that in Galatians 1 and 8, I just want to read that one little verse on this before we move on. It says here, Galatians 1 and 8, but though we, Paul writing, though we, the writer, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Don't take that. Don't listen to that. There is a way that leads to heaven. It is a clear path. It is a path where the conscience is clear. It is a path where our focus is clear on the things of God. We're safe to stay with that. I know our time's almost up. I want to read a couple of places where John 21, starting at verse 1, this here, I will tell you what many times happens in our life. We become a little bit confused at times. Most of us will at times. things will be hazy in our future, in our life. And we'll become a little disillusioned. Peter was in this situation when this took place that this chapter is writing about here. In verse 1 it says, "After these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples." Let's see, that's Peter, Thomas, Didymus, Nathanael. That's eight people, eight of the disciples here. "And so Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." You know, this wasn't something sinful they did. It's just that God had called them away from this. This was their business. This was Simon Peter's business. And so the Lord had called him to something else. And he said here, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." Okay, and then Jesus came by, and he said in verse 5, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat up to him, for he was naked and had cast himself into the sea. He didn't want to wait till the boat got up there. He wanted to meet the Lord as fast as he could. And I believe that's where Simon's heart was. But the Lord had a little lesson here that he wanted to speak to Peter. And this is just personal dealings with the Lord. This isn't the same conviction that somebody, not every person was called to follow the Lord in the way Peter was as an apostle, as a disciple. And so in verse 15, Jesus had come along and they had caught all these fishes now at the word of the Lord. And Jesus wanted to tell Peter something. He says here in 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." You know, that sounds easy enough. But see, this is what the Lord had called Peter to already before. And Peter got a little, there's nothing happening, and I'm going back to fishing. I don't know what was in his mind. But I believe this corresponds to what went on here. In verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." See, Peter had, to some degree, gotten off on a little side road. And he hadn't, I don't think Peter had sinned here. But Peter was doing his own thing. And the Lord had personally spoken to Peter, "I want you to follow me. I want you all to come and leave those ships and follow me." That was a personal dealing. That wasn't something that the whole church was doing in the same way. And so he said, "Feed my sheep." Verily, verily, I'm going to skip some here maybe. Well, I'll read on. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." You know, how many times did the Lord speak to Peter. And I believe from this time on, Peter followed the Lord the rest of his life. He understood what God wanted him to do. I want us to think this morning about the things, the dealings God has had with us in our life. Some things the Lord will speak to us. I want you to do this. I'm not asking everybody to do this. I want you to. I want you. This is my little thing for you. This is my work for you. Or this thing for you is too dangerous. And I don't want you to do that. You know, Peter got a little sidetracked here. But the Lord, the Lord knew the road to heaven for Peter. For Peter, the road to heaven, the road in God's will, was to follow that call that God had given him. I want to encourage us this morning. Don't shut your life off from the call of God upon your life. The Lord has some people that He wants to call. He wants to use us in His service. And sometimes it comes at a real cross to the flesh. Maybe Peter loved to fish. But the Lord told him over and over, Peter, do you love me, Peter? I want you to feed my sheep. I've got a job for you to do, Peter. Peter could have said, Lord, I'm not a learned man, I'm a fisherman. I really can't speak and I don't like to speak. And every time I speak, I get in trouble. He could have said that. Maybe that was in his mind. But you know, the Lord had something for Peter. And his road to heaven was to be in the center of God's will. This was part of that focus that Peter was supposed to have in his life. I want to encourage us today to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the will of God. That we don't allow ourselves to do our own thing in life. I'm persuaded that had Peter turned back and said, you know, I think I'm going fishing. I don't believe Peter would have ever made it there. To heaven. I don't believe Peter would have made it in. And you know, there's going to be some of us too that are going to face those very things. God calls our life. He gives gifts and He gives things. And that's the Lord's special dealings with us. Focus on what we know. See, Peter knew. This is not something Peter was thinking maybe God. He knew what God was saying. He knew. And from that time on, he was very responsible. And he focused his life on that the rest of his life. You know, the Lord deals with this in ways that we can understand. He's very intelligent, much more intelligent than we are. And he can deal with us in a way that we can understand. But when he does, focus on those things. Focus on the will of God in our life. And don't let our life be running around on side trips here and there. We're liable to be on a side trip when we get in a car wreck. We're liable to be. People have done that. God help us this morning to. I'm going to cut it short, but I was thinking about the man. Maybe we'll mention this another time or something. About laying up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's the verse where we started. Where we read there in Matthew 6. I'm going to turn back there. 6 and 19. Jesus said here, this is His words, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. In other words, don't focus on those things. Don't be trying to make yourself rich. It's a vain pursuit. He says here, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Focus on heaven. Focus on laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where our focus has to be. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now it doesn't say, I heard a minister not long ago mention this. It doesn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. It says where your treasure is, there will your heart be. We have to be careful about amassing for ourselves things that are dear to ourselves. If we're not careful, we'll find our heart wrapped up in those things. And it's not just riches. It can be so many different things. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. See, he's speaking about focus here again. No man can serve two masters. The master of our own life, the master of our own self, our own mind, our own desires, if we serve him, we cannot serve God and expect to get in there. That's not a road sign on the way to heaven. It's not what we've seen those that successfully get to the end with a clear testimony in their life. We haven't seen that as a pattern for us to follow. And so Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This morning, let's serve God with a pure focus and an eye that is not divided, affections that are not divided between this life and what God wants me to do. If we know God wants it, throw off everything. I want to encourage us today. Throw off everything. If we know God is in it, take His way with all of our heart. Let ourselves not be holding back by our own desires or by the things that, by our own stubbornness or by someone else talking us into it. We want to go to heaven, and it takes focus to get there. We're going to have to center ourselves up in the things of God. Maybe I'll read one or two more here in Joshua 14 and 14. Here is a wonderful example of this very thing. And it says here, and Joshua blessed him, verse 13, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Just want to leave that with us this morning. The inheritance that Caleb received was because he wholly followed the Lord with all of his heart. And we find that in the face of those that, in the face of danger, they said, no, we will not go in and do His will. We will not go into the land of Canaan. We would rather go back to the leeks and the garlics in Egypt, where they had their children killed and all of those things. And they started looking back. But Caleb, his whole heart was, I know God will take care of us. Those giants that are in that land will be like, I can't, like grasshoppers, did he say? Anyway, I know they said that they were like grasshoppers in the giant's sight. But Caleb let them know it was no problem for the Lord. No problem for God. He wholly followed the Lord. There's going to be some that's going to wholly follow the Lord. It can be you and me. Why not? But it takes a dedicated effort, and it's not going to happen accidentally. It's going to happen because we decide in our heart, I'm going to wholly follow God. And what I know He wants me to do, if I died trying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do all the will of God in my life. I believe when Peter left there, when he left that place and Jesus spoke to him like that, I doubt that ever got away from him. The rest of his life, when he came down to the end of his life, you know what? They hung him, they believe. I can't, I'm afraid, like he had done at one time. He wholly followed the Lord, and the Lord baptized his life with the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we wholly follow the Lord. We give ourselves to Him without reserve. We consecrate ourselves a living sacrifice, and the Lord takes possession of that vessel, and the Lord begins to work in our life.